This morning I'd like to talk to you about power. I'd like to talk to you about the power of God. But I'll tell you folks, it's time we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as never before. We were in this auditorium yesterday doing something about what happened, really. It's the only answer, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you about power this morning, and there's some scriptures that you must read with me from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Luke the 9th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And Jesus sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city. And Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's one prayer that you ought to pray every day of your life. It's so simple, I think we miss it. Pray the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then going further in that same 10th chapter of Luke's gospel, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Behold, I give you power, authority and power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And behold, I have given you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions. And the Amplified goes on to say, and physical and mental strength. Please get a grip on that. Physical and mental strength are in this great circle of God's power toward you. An ability over all power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you. Nevertheless, rejoice not at this, but the fact that your names are written in heaven. As you see the events, and I'm not going to dwell there, because I'm going in a little different direction this morning. You see and you hear the events of this last week, the tragedy that has happened in Colorado. It could really produce a pressure or a fear or hopelessness, I guess is what I'm trying to say. All of us have felt the pain. Any parent has felt the pain of this thing in a tremendous way. And you might say, well, what is the hope? What can be done? And then for some of us that have been in this auditorium the last couple of days, if you saw the beginning of people who so desperately needed to be set free, you'd say, my God, what is the answer? Because Satan's an equal opportunity tormentor, and he will take advantage of any and every door that is opened. Even if it's a Christian home, there were those here from Christian homes that had opened the door somewhere along the line. But I want to give you some hope this morning, and I want to encourage you in God. These verses are some of the most challenging verses in Holy Writ. Sometimes I deal with humanity until I have to go back and saturate myself with these verses. I see so much. I hear so much. I'm involved many times to a certain degree in things that there's really nothing people will let me do about it. I'm involved in it, but there's nothing I can do. You can't make parents serve God. You can't make children serve God. You can't, especially when people are deceived and morals and that type of thing. I mean, it's like walking into a lion's cage to try to speak a voice of sanity. You see, you know, and you're so sensitive, you know where that thing is going. But for the grace of God, but there's not a thing in the world you can do about it, or is there? Yes, there is. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy." And if it's around me, if it's something that's in my realm of influence, be it as a friend or as a pastor or a family or whatever, by the grace of God, God has given me power and authority over all the works of the enemy. And he's given you the same thing. And I want you to understand that. This was before Calvary when Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power." Now, if that was true before Calvary, where is it today? Really? Because in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, he said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." There was obviously a higher level. There was a greater degree of anointing that came on the day of Pentecost that accelerated what Jesus initiated over in Luke, the 10th chapter, and in the Great Commission of Mark and of Matthew. If you'd let me now spread out and share with you some of these insights that I feel God gave me. God just poured this into my heart. What kind of power do we have? Little insignificant you. Nobody, no reputation. You're not a mayor of a city. You're not a public person. You're not a television commentator or personality. Little insignificant you. What do you have going for you? Jesus said it, and if you believe it, you'll see it manifested. "Behold, I give unto you power." I give unto you power. Mental and emotional and physical power. But the greatest power is spiritual power over all the power of the enemy. Some of you are battling things with children. Some of you are battling things with an unsaved companion or a companion that's out of fellowship with God. And you say, "I've tried that, but it's not working." If you believe it, it is working. Things do not always happen instantly. In fact, people talk about sovereign revivals. Now, this is just my own personal persuasion. I think what a lot of people call a sovereign move of God was probably paid for by some grandmother in a prayer closet years ago. Years ago, some grandmother or some grandfather or some whoever prayed that thing through. And it might have taken days, weeks, months, or years to manifest. But I don't think anything happens by chance. I believe that things are prayed in, prayed through, and prayed down. And if we believe that God gave us power over all the power of the enemy, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to be afraid. In fact, you're the most important person in your neighborhood if the rest of them don't know Jesus. You're the most important person where you work if they don't know Jesus. You're the most important person in your realm of influence if you know Jesus. Pastoring, many times you feel like a bulldozer. You know, the drag strip's next door, but you're a bulldozer. And you just have to keep going across and pulling out stumps and clearing out trees. And you know, you want to do wheelies, but bulldozers don't do wheelies. You want to tear up more than you're seeing. Then you get a little further across the field and you see you've torn up a lot more of the devil's plans than you thought you were. So let's look at these things real quickly. What kind of power do you have going for you? What kind of power do I have going for me? We have power over sin. That's called salvation. Say it with me. I have power over sin. As a born-again believer, I have power over sin through the name of Jesus. You know, every time I say this, someone picks up on it and says, "Thank you, Pastor." You don't have to be a theologian to lead people to Jesus. You don't have to be an orator. You don't have to be some influential personality. The secret to leading people to Jesus is to get people at their point of need. "Oh, I've got such a headache. Oh, would you mind if I prayed for you?" If the headache's bad enough, they don't care who prays for them. "How you doing?" "Having a rough day." "What's wrong?" "My child's in trouble. He's on drugs." "Do you mind if I pray with you?" I'm going to tell you what, when you find a person at their point of need, they'll let you pray with them. They'll let you pray for them. One of the greatest ways to witness, if you'll just listen to people, they'll tip off where they're coming from and what's happening in their life. And then don't hit them over the head with a 16-pound Bible, but zero in on the love of God to pray for them, to help them. And they'll appreciate that so very, very much. I was going to make a hospital call to see you, my brother. I noticed a lady sort of behind a post over there. I just caught a glimpse, and the moment I saw her, her head was down, and she had a handkerchief up, I knew something was desperately wrong. And so I walked all long ways out of my way and came up, and I said, "I don't want to frighten you, but I said, you need some prayer, don't you?" She began to just sob. She said, "Yes, I do. My husband's had a bypass, and it didn't work. And the doctor said they don't have another alternative for that. They don't know what to do." She said, "My heart's broken." So it was a beautiful opportunity right out by a big pillar in a hospital. See, I met her at her point of need. Amen. Met her at her point of need. That's where you can help people and witness to people and lead people to Jesus. Meet them at their point of need. 9 times out of 10, they'll let you pray with them. We have power over sin. Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 23 said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's only 3 things you need to know and be willing to do it and lead someone to Jesus. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Some people call it the Roman road. Call it what you will. I've led so many people to Jesus through these 3 portions of God's word. That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. You can lead anyone, anywhere, anytime to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anywhere. Thank God when you're born again, Jesus' blood, listen to me, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Don't tell me how bad your sin is. Let me tell you how powerful the blood of my Jesus is. Don't tell me that what you've done is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. This is a house that stands against impossibilities. Because we serve a God that can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And once you are born again, now this comes through Bible teaching, and you need to be in a good church where you're taught these things over and over again. Thank God we have power over sin. Secondly, we have power over temptation. The Bible said in James 4:7, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." The little bumper sticker concerning drugs says, "Just say no." That's the way to handle Satan. To Satan you say no, and to Jesus you say yes. To the temptation you say no, and to the Holy Spirit you say yes. It's the way you overcome. Praise God. Jesus was our example. Satan tempted him in the 3 major areas of his life and your life and all of our lives. And Jesus said, "It is written." No. No. When it was all over, the angels came and ministered to him. You say, "Do you believe in angels?" I believe in angels. Coming down the hall, one of the little caregivers came out this morning, had her hands up. She said, Pastor, she said, "I just saw angels in Janet's room." I said, "You did?" She said, "Yes, they were all around the bed, and they were not restricted by walls or petitions. I saw angels in your daughter's room. I didn't have trouble believing that. I just lifted my hands and rejoiced with her. There were angels in this room the last 2 days assisting our brother as he was ministering to people that so desperately needed the help of God. We've not always made 100 on this test, this power over temptation, but it's yours. You can feel a cold coming on. You can feel symptoms of certain sicknesses coming on. When you feel temptation coming on, if you can't handle it by yourself, run as fast as your little feet will go to a believer. Or get on the phone and say, stand with me in prayer. Don't just stand there and say, well, there's just nothing I can do. Yes, there's something you can do about it. He gave us power over all the power of the enemy. There's not a one of us in this room but what we've fallen and we've missed it in a major way or a lesser way. We've all missed it, but we're getting smarter, aren't we, saints? We're getting stronger. We're getting smarter. And we're not going to be steamrolled by the power of the enemy. When those thoughts begin to come, just say, amen. When the temptation appears before you, just say, oh, praise God. I must move on. Power over sin, power over temptation, power over your thoughts. Joshua 1:8 and Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. You say, well, I'm not one of those positive thinkers. You're going to be shot down in smoke. Get a grip on your mind. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God get a grip on your mind. You can't read junk and have God's purity in your life. You can't view junk when the choice is yours and have God's purity in your life. Think on these things. If it's just, if it's pure, if it's wonderful, don't dwell on what somebody did to you or some offense or some whatever. Get a grip on your thoughts by the power of the Spirit of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank God you have power over poverty. I said God gave you power over poverty. That's called tithes and offerings. And faith mixed with that. God gave you power. See, as a pastor, what kind of a man of God would I be? I mean, we've come through some lean years, some hard years. We know what pressures are. And Joe and I could never say thank you enough for all the kind letters and cards. And on this great anniversary time, thank you so much. You've humbled our hearts. But oh, you see, I don't want to just say thank God now that my needs are being met, that now I don't care about you. I care about everyone that walks through these doors. And if your car is not sufficient, I want to see you have a better car. If your housing is not sufficient, I want you to have decent housing. I want you to be able to live in dignity. I want you to be able to hold your head up high and not feel like you're something substandard. This auditorium, if I were to open this microphone, we'd be here until midnight of people that said, I walked into this church suffering from friction. That's two back payments rubbing up against one another. You not only needed salvation, you were suffering from financial friction. And it might have been ever so little, but you began to be faithful to God in your tithe and faithful to giving and faithful to being obedient to the things of God. And I'm not telling you it turns around overnight. Most of the time it doesn't turn around overnight. You can't turn an ocean liner like you can turn an airplane, but you turn it just a little bit at a time, but it can be turned. I'm here to tell you that God not only cares about the forgiveness of your sins and helping you to live an overcoming, victorious life, God wants you to be able to live in dignity and have enough to help you and to help somebody else. Someone came running up to me the other day. They said, Pastor, it happened, it happened. It's no longer me existing, but I have enough left over. I just helped somebody else today. And oh, the joy of God that was in their face. Hey, that's the joy of being blessed to bless somebody else. Power over the spirit of poverty, low self-image, no self-image. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care if everybody in the world tells you you're a nobody, you're a somebody. Everybody in your life may have put you down, may have spoken something negative, and that happens occasionally, but you can stand up and say, I'm bought through the precious blood of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And God has made a difference in my life. You know, God gave you power over destructive, negative people. Now, if you say you don't have any enemies, either you are living in the ozone or you haven't lived very long. You preach over 40 years of ministry, pastor of church 35 years, you're going to pick up a few along the way. But you know, the interesting thing is this. Once I discovered that I'm supposed to forgive them and then pray for them and bless them, that's the hard one. Forgiving doesn't seem to be as hard. But bless them, Lord, give me a break. But you know what? I've lived long enough to outlive several waves of enemies. In fact, I feel sorry for my enemies. When I was younger, I just knew my enemies were going to do me in. But you know, if you keep your heart right, if you forgive, if you love people, just do the right thing. Just do right. If you don't know what to do, just hold steady. I've outlived so many sets of enemies. I jokingly say I almost have to find a few nowadays. Praise God. Oh, they're out there. But if you live for God, some people will love you for it and other people will hate you for it. But now listen, you say, but someone's trying to get my job. Someone's trying to ruin me. Someone's saying terrible things. Well, first of all, is it true? If it's true, repent. If it's not true, put it in the hands of God. For no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you'll show to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of God's children. You can outlive your critics and outlive your enemies and have to get a whole new set of them. Power over destructive, negative people. Jehoshaphat, we're outnumbered. They're coming against us. There's no hope. Oh, yes. We fast, we pray, we call upon God. We start praising and worshiping God, and God sets ambushments against the enemy. I'll tell you the fun part of it is when you realize you don't have to lift your hand. Just stand on the word, believe the word, rejoice in the word, and say, Lord, the battle is not mine, but the battle is yours. Oh, that's good. Power over the past. I think that's one thing the devil uses to beat people down. You know, the truth of the matter is men have a better memory than God does in certain areas. About your past, if you ask God about the past that is under the blood, God would say, for the life of me, I can't remember it. It's under the blood. Some of you ought to turn cartwheels down this central aisle. Oh, if I dropped that screen and said, all right, now it's your life. This was your life. Everyone look up. There'd be some holes in the walls. There'd be some new exit doors. No, Pastor. But you don't have to worry about that in the kingdom of God, because the past really doesn't matter at all. Forgiven, forgotten, under the blood. In fact, some of the strongest Christians I know today are those that fell on their faces in the yesterday and they learned their lesson. Some still haven't learned. Thank God, power over the past. The past really doesn't matter at all. My father-in-law used to say the way to handle the past is just put a saddle on it and ride it. Use it for the glory of God. Power over the past. Oh, in everyone's life, I wished I had not said that, done that, been there. Why was I a part of that? But oh, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. Oh, the blood covers it all. Power over Satan's plans for our children and grandchildren. You know, it's amazing, especially through the Old Testament, over and over again in Numbers, Deuteronomy, teach the children, teach the children, teach the children, teach the children. Don't let the television teach your children. Don't let the videos teach your children. Don't let the movies or the wrong crowd at school teach your children. Teach your children and your grandchildren God's word. Parents, you ought to get every godly video, and thank God there's many that are available now. Amen. We have many in our own bookstore. You need to get godly videos. Govern your television set. Watch The young men in Colorado were watching. I don't have all the information, but it was a video out of Germany. You know what they did? What they saw on a video? You kill all the people you don't like. You play like it, and then you do it. What you watch, you become. I'll tell you, when we went to uniforms in our Christian school, you'd have thought we were the Antichrist. Oh, Brother Nichols, this is terrible. This is terrible. But I'll tell you what, immediately about 50% of certain problems were eliminated. And I feel sorry for naive parents. Well, I want my child to be able freedom to express himself or herself. They ought to lock you up somewhere. God didn't give you that child to teach you. God gave you that child for you to teach that child and to train them up in the ways of God. There's another limb while I'm at it. You know, people say, well, you know, I just don't believe in making my children come to church. I'm glad you didn't get to my mama. They said, I ruin my children. If they come to church, they won't get anything out of it. Oh, yeah, they will. Man, in our house, it wasn't worth saying, I'm too sick to go to church, Mom. She'd come in with that big olive oil bottle. She said, that's all right, son. We're going to pray and God's going to raise you up. We're going to church. I thought I was the most pitiful thing in the world when Mom would come down and sit on the first two or three rows. But I saw some of the greatest preachers that ever preached in the day when I was being raised, and those messages, instant replay in my mind, and looking at me, you wouldn't have thought a thing in the world was going on. My mother was so cruel. She prayed for me. She made sure that I went to church. She taught me to tithe. She taught me to serve God. She taught me Matthew 6:33. Taught me the wrath of God. I don't know how a little short mother can handle three boys at one time, but she had the art mastered. I'm going to tell you, she had the art mastered. I thank God every day I was raised in a home that had the fear of God, home where people went to church, home where we didn't go home from church and roast the preacher and all the negative things about the people. Oh, thank God I heard some of the greatest preachers and some of the greatest ministers, and it got into my spirit. And I saw ministers that today I still every once in a while catch myself something coming through that I saw as a child. Your children need to see the Word of God in action. Amen. Well, your children and your grandchildren, let me tell you something. The next time the devil says there's not a thing you can do about your children and your grandchildren, you tell him, I resist you in the name of Jesus, out of here. Our children are a gift from God, and the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. They may be walking a million miles away from God this morning, but you have the big power stick. You have the big power stick. Claim those children and claim those grandchildren and claim those neighborhood children and claim those school children for the salvation of God. God gave you power and authority. Tell you out doing something you shouldn't do, and you come in and trip over mama praying, she's going to sleep over her Bible. That kind of takes the fun out of it. I knew the steps that creaked, I thought, but I missed one. Thank God, thank God. Well, just two or three more. Power over Satan's plans for our children and grandchildren. You know, we have power over death, or Jesus does. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Where is your sting? Where is your victory? You know, the biggest shot Satan can fire is death. To the Western mind, it just freaks us out. Westerners, you know, death, death. And it is. It is an awesome thing to deal with. It can be. But I want you to know, thank God, when we breathe our last breath here, because we're a child of God, we wake up in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Power over death. Power to shake a city with Holy Ghost revival. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. I mean, as a pastor, it's mind-boggling. How do you reach people? This one has an idea, that one has an idea, and they try it for a while, and then they go on to something else. Everyone's got a little different idea. I still believe with all of my heart that the power of the Holy Spirit of God in all of us is more than sufficient with the power of God that is in other believers in this greater metroplex area to shake the greater metroplex with the fires of revival and to see our metroplex turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not hopeless. It's not helpless. It's not hopeless. City of Samaria, Philip went down to that city in Samaria. He just preached Christ. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. That doesn't work. You have to have a lot of methods and methodologies. He preached Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said that city in Samaria, the whole city gave heed. The whole city. What a man. What a message. Power through praise. Why do we have to keep relearning this? When the enemy comes in like a flood, just praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. But you don't know my problem, but praise the Lord. But you don't know what's coming against me, praise the Lord. But you don't know the stack of bills that I'm facing, just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. But you don't understand everything that's coming against me, just praise the Lord. You ought to keep some red hot praise tapes in your car at all times. And just praise God. Just worship Him, honor Him, glorify Him. You say, well, your people have to be so noisy. Well, it's not noisy out in some other places I know. It's a lot easier to calm a little bit of noise down than to raise the dead. If you haven't tried that lately, I can assure you that's the way it is. Brother, before 93, we had a great church. We had a good church. But oh, thank God we have a better church because the spirit of revival, and that's not... Nothing is an end result in itself, but there's a fire burning in me that I refuse to let go. There's a desire.